Here is a Bible question. What king in the Bible, over Israel or Judah, what king had more written about him than any other king, with the exception of David or Solomon? Well, this king was crowned the 12th king of Judah. He was 12th king, but he was actually the 13th ruler, because between him and another, you know, somewhere before that was a wicked, wicked woman by the name of Athaliah, who grabbed the throne after her son died and tried to kill off all her grandchildren. His name is Hezekiah. He's written of in the 2 Kings, in 2 Chronicles, and in Isaiah. All give a record of his time as king over Judah. Yet in spite of his prominence in Scripture, very few sermons are given about him. Rehoboam was the first of 19 kings of Judah. If you remember, the northern tribes, you know, after the death of Solomon, Rehoboam couldn't control that, and so the northern 10 tribes broke away, and the southern tribes stayed with what they call the David's lineage, and the others went off and they went with Jeroboam. There were only three kings that ruled over all 13 tribes, if you consider Manasseh and Ephraim, each a tribe. Then you had Saul, he was the first ruler, David, the second ruler, and Solomon. Those are the only three that ever reigned over Israel as complete all 13 tribes. Hezekiah was a contemporary of Hoshea, which is the wicked king of the northern kingdom. And he also was contemporary with two prophets, Isaiah and Micah. The theme of Hezekiah's life, we might say the theme of it would be survival. He was the son of Ahaz, who was a complete failure as a king of Judah. Let me read you a little bit about King Ahaz from 2 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning in verse 22. Now in the time of distress, King Ahaz became yet more unfaithful to the Eternal. You know, some people turn to God in the time of distress. Not Ahaz. In the time of distress, he became even worse against God, turning away from God even more. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus. I want you to look at verse 23. I want you to get this, because this is unbelievable. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus. Why did he sacrifice to the gods of Damascus? Because he lost the war, right? He lost the war with Assyria, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him in his mind. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria or Aram helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they might help me. Listen to his reasoning. It never dawned on him to say, I lost the war because I was unfaithful to the Eternal. I did what was wrong in God's eyes, and I lost this war because I didn't turn to my God, the ever-living God. He said, oh, they beat me. They have gods. Their gods helped them to beat me. I'm going to worship their gods. So he turned away to worship. You know, we might say, this is a case of the old Latin phrase, post hoc ergo proctor hoc. After this, therefore, because of this, he was defeated. Therefore, it was because they had these other gods. It was because of their gods that he was defeated. Those gods became his downfall. The downfall of him and all Israel, verse 23. I want you to notice verse 23. Verse 24, moreover, when Ahaz gathered together the utensils, listen to what he now does. Well, I lost this war, and they defeated me, so I want to worship their gods. I believe that their gods are greater, so I want to worship their gods. And notice what he does. Moreover, verse 24, when Ahaz gathered together the utensils of the house of God, and he cut the utensils of the house of God in pieces, he closed the doors of the house of the Eternal and made altars for himself in every corner of Jerusalem. Made altars for himself. I want an altar here, and I want an altar so I can worship all these other gods in every corner. So, well, hey, they beat me. I'm closing up shop. We're closing the Eternal temple. We're closing this. No more worship of Yahweh because they beat me. Never dawned on him that he wasn't faithful to Yahweh. Never dawned on him that he wasn't right with Yahweh. So he closed the temple of God, the house of God, and cut up all the utensils of God. And in verse 25, in every city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods. And he provoked the Eternal, the God of his fathers, to anger. Now the rest of the acts of his way and his ways, from the first to the last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 27, so Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of Jerusalem. For they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. How did Hezekiah get there? You know, you probably wouldn't want to say this, but your father's death was a blessing. Your father was so bad, was so wrong, was so far afield, that to have your father die was a blessing to you and to Israel and to Judah. I mean, mostly to Judah, the southern tribes. Now, he survived something. To be king, he had to live to be his age. How old was he when he began? Well, we'll read that in a little bit. He was 25 years old. But I want to show you what he had to survive to get to be king. Turn to me with 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Dropping down to verse 2. We just read 2 Chronicles 28 in verse 22. But let's drop back down to 2, reading from verse 2 to verse 4. But he, Ahaz, talking about Ahaz, walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He also made molten images for the Baals. He worshipped the Baals, okay? Moreover, verse 3, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which in the New Testament became Gehenna. That's what Jesus, when Jesus talked about the burning in Gehenna, that's the valley of Hinnom. And he burned, listen to the next part of verse 3, he burned his sons in fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Eternal had driven out before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Human sacrifice. Hezekiah's dad. Human sacrifice of his own kids. Well, let's see who we're going to sacrifice this year to Baal. Samuel, how about you? Hey, Zedekiah, how about you? Let's go here. Let's come on over here. We're going to. And here's Hezekiah. Now, I'm theorizing now. I'm going to go beyond the Bible here for a second. I want you to notice 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Next chapter. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, I don't think that was Zechariah the prophet. His name was Zechariah. Here is mentioned his mother and his grandfather. Now, why am I coming up? Why am I thinking this? So let's follow me along here for a minute with Hezekiah. Kids are being burned. The kings had several wives. Often they had, David had a number of wives. He had children from this woman and baptism of them. And polygamy was not considered bad at that time. It was just okay. So here's Hezekiah as a kid growing up. Some brothers are being taken, sacrificed in the fire. Abijah is here. She's the daughter of Zechariah. And what do we know about her and her father and her son? Well, her name, Abijah, means Yahweh is my father. My dad is Yahweh. That's what her name means. Abi Yah. My dad, Abi, is Yahweh. So she and her family were Yahweh worshipers. They were worshipers of the eternal. Her name, his name, was the eternal helps, the eternal strengthens. You can say it either way. The eternal helps, the eternal strengthens. Hezekiah means the eternal strengthens. So here's this boy who's the son of Abijah. The son of Abijah. And I'll bet you that Abijah said, "You're not taking Hezekiah. You're not taking my kid. I don't believe in those Baals." Now listen, Ahaz, I don't believe it. I'm not letting you take him. And I would almost be willing to bet, we'll see in the kingdom whether I'm right about this, but I would be willing to bet that she fought him and would not let Hezekiah be sacrificed. I'll bet she fought him. I wonder how many women have the guts, the gumption, I wonder if you women have the guts to stand up to a husband that's going the wrong way and say no. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not letting you take my boy. I don't believe in that. I worship the eternal, and we worship the commandments of Moses and the laws of Moses. So the first thing this poor young man had to do was survive his father's craziness of burning sons in the fire. So he got help. His name is the Eternal Helps. I wonder why that is. The Eternal strengthens. The Eternal helps me. Now the scriptures say that Hezekiah was the best king the kingdom of Judah had. The southern kingdom, Israel's up here. There were no good kings of Israel. No, of the northern tribes, there's not one of them that says he walked right, did what was right in the eyes of God. Let's take a look at what we see here in 2 Kings chapter 18. We'll begin to read the whole thing, but I want to drop down to verses 5 and 6 first. Listen to what the Bible says about this man, Hezekiah. He becomes king now, okay? His dad dies. He becomes king. His dad left an entire mess. He made such a mess of the whole country of Judah, closing the temple of God, putting up places to worship the Baals, offering human sacrifices. He made a mess of the country. And here's Hezekiah now becomes the king. Verse 5 and 6, 2 Kings, talking about Hezekiah. He trusted in Yahweh. the eternal, the YHVH, the God of Israel. So that after him, listen to this phrase, there was none like him among the kings of Judah. He was so dedicated. Where did he get this dedication to Yahweh? He didn't get it from Ahaz, his dad. This is the power that mothers can have on children, on teaching them morals, on teaching them truth, on teaching them godliness, on teaching them God's truth, God's way. This is the power. He didn't get this from his dad. His dad was an abysmal failure. So that there was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he, listen to this phrase in verse 6, for he clung to the eternal. His dad closes up the temple. His dad shuts down business. We're not, you know, no more worshiping God at this temple. I'm shutting it down, closing the doors, cutting up all the, you know, destroying all the utensils that were there, used the incense burners and all that. No more of that. No more worshiping of Yahweh. And his son comes in and clung to the eternal. Listen to this. He did not depart from following him. No, it's okay. A lot of people start off. You know, I want to be baptized. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. And then, this is sort of boring. There's something over here better. I think I'll go over there. I'll do this. I think I'm going to this religion. I'm going to that. I'm going there. I go, and they go there. This guy made a commitment. He clung to the eternal, and he never departed from him. Never departed. But listen to the next phrase. But he kept his commandments, which the Eternal had commanded Moses. Now, where did he learn these commandments? Where did he learn that this was the thing to do? He had to learn it from his dad. From his mother. He didn't learn it from his dad. His dad closed up shop with the Eternal. His dad turned away from the Eternal. His dad was a moron. Pardon me. Sorry, Ahaz. His dad was a moron. He was so stupid that, they defeated me. I better worship their gods. Anybody that wins the way, I better worship their gods. I better go this way. I better go that way. He didn't even know. He couldn't even figure it out. This guy made a commitment. He clung to the Eternal, and he never departed from following him. He kept his commandments, which the Eternal had commanded Moses. Yeah, this guy was something. This guy was a dynamo. This guy was raised by, I could hear the conversations with Zechariah and his daughter, okay? Now here's little Hezekiah, he's a little boy, you know, let's say he's being raised. So, hey, don't let Ahaz grab this boy. This is our grandson. Don't let him take Ahaz and sacrifice him to the Baals. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with your husband? This guy, you know, he's the father of him. Don't let him do that. He's got other sons. He's got other wives. He could take one of them. Don't let him have this one. We don't worship the Baals. It probably came from his grandfather, down through his mother, and to Hezekiah himself. Yeah, death is what brought Hezekiah to rulership. By the way, His Excellence, here's Hezekiah. In the list of the kings of Judah, he follows his dad Ahaz, who was total failure as a king before the Eternal. So he is the son of a very bad father. But following him, one of his sons takes over. And I believe that was Manasseh. He is the father of a very bad king. So he's sandwiched between two very bad kings, his father and his son. You know, it points out Each one of us has to be an individual, doesn't it? Each one of us has to stand with what we believe, not with what Daddy believed or what my son, the way my son's going. You know, I'm sorry that my son's going that way. He's a mess. But Manasseh was a mess. Here we read in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 20. So Ahaz slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his son Hezekiah reigned in his place. Let's begin 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel. So each one of these, they're taking the term, the northern kingdom had Hoshea ruling, that Ahaz died, and Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. So his father, it became a relief to the country. His father was such a curse to the nation of Judah. And what a blessing. Here comes this young man, raised by a wonderful mother, a Yahweh worshiper, having his name Yahweh, part of his name, the eternal strengthens, he, God will strengthen me. And his mother's name, Yahweh, is my father. Or you want to know who my father is? Yahweh. So they were, he comes along, led the nation out of the depths of degradation, and to the heights. Hezekiah led them from the depths of the pits of immorality, of paganism and superstition, to the heights of holiness. He led the whole nation. So let's begin. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, of king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, Abi is a shortened name. That was probably what they called. Hey, Abi. Or Abi. Abi, meaning, you know, my dad. My dad's father, you know. Abi, you know. But her name was Abijah, meaning my dad is Yahweh. This is a shortened term. Now, he reigned, listen to the word, he reigned 29 years. Presidents of the United States, usually, except for Franklin Roosevelt, were only elected to two terms. So the most any president has been, including Franklin Roosevelt, was 12 years. He started his 13th year in the fourth term. He finished 12 years as president of the United States. He had an enormous effect on the United States of America in his policies and a lot of things he put through. And he put through a lot. Donald Trump has been reigning 1.5 years, a little over 1.5 years. So far, he's had a tremendous effect on policies and things and in the United States. He's only been... Now, neither Franklin Roosevelt nor any other president had absolute power. They can't make rules for everything. They have to have Congress to approve this. They have to have this to happen. There are laws that have to be made. And a lot of times there are fights. There's going to be fights over this, fights over this immigration, fights over that, fights over this, because we have a democracy. You're Hezekiah. You're 25 years old. You have been raised believing in the commandments of the eternal. You have clung to the eternal. You love the eternal. You want to follow God's laws. And you come and you see this and you say, that's not going to happen anymore. And you are king. Okay? You don't go before Congress. You don't go before a bunch of people. You say the word, and your word is law. The king's word is law, right? He's got power and authority. He says, I want those done away. So here's what happens. By the way, he started reigning somewhere, let's give you an idea. I can't be certain about that, but somewhere from 727 B.C., somewhere around there, to 716 B.C. That's when he began. But I think he had to begin before 721. My guess will be, and Rawlinson has 716, Schofield, somebody else has 727. Somebody, so there are different things. But he was there about 6 years before Israel was taken into captivity in 721 B.C. Israel, Sennacherib, they came to get the northern tribes were taken into captivity. So he was already king during the time that the northern tribes were taken captive. Okay, so you reigned 29 years with absolute power. Okay, and your name means the strength of Yahweh, or Yahweh strengthens me, or Yahweh helps me, or the strength of Yahweh can be translated a number of ways. And again, your mother's name is My Father is Yahweh. Verse 3, 2 Kings 18. He did right in the sight of the Eternal. Now, when you think about that statement, he did. Here's God. God's eyes are looking. Okay? God's eyes are looking. And in God's eyes, he did right. You know, he didn't do right because some other people thought he did right. I bet he had a lot of people griping. He's tearing down the temple of Baal. He's tearing down the place where we worshiped Asherah. He's tearing down there. What's wrong? Oh, I don't like this. I don't like. We love the celebrations of Baal. I enjoyed sacrificing my son to make God happy and Baal happy and the Lord. I enjoy it now. Look what he's doing to our nation. Oh, no. Can you hear that? But Hezekiah doesn't care. I'm the king. That's what's going to happen, and everybody's going to abide by it. 29 years, brethren, with absolute power. How much can you change a nation in 29 years with absolute power? You'll see here. He did what was right in the sight of the Eternal. Listen to this statement. According to all that his father, now this means forefather, David had done. Now he's compared to David. His character then is said to be in the excellency of David, King David. That's a great compliment. The greatness of this compliment is emphasized by the fact that only two other kings besides Hezekiah were given that great compliment. Only two others in the whole Bible. They were Asa, you'll see it in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11. It says this, Asa did what was right in the sight of the Eternal, like David his father, forefather. And Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22. Which reads, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah. He did right in the sight of the Eternal and walked in all the ways of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. So only three men. Only three kings of Judah were even compared to David. Hezekiah was only one of nine kings who were said in Scripture with this phrase, he did right in the sight of the Eternal. Only nine of them were said to even, you know, out of all these 19 kings of Judah, only nine were said to have done right in the sight of the Eternal. These kings, besides Hezekiah, were, of course, David, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, and Josiah, in addition to Hezekiah. But only Hezekiah, Asa, and Josiah were said to do right as well as David. In other words, he did like David. Five of these nine kings had exception about doing what was right in the sight of the Eternal. They were Jehoshaphat, Jehoash, Uzziah, Jotham, and Josiah. And the reason these exceptions were, you know, he pretty much did what was right, but he didn't do it like David. Why? Because they always, the same exception for each one of them, they never removed the high places. They never went all the way, got rid of all the high places of pagan worship. One king, whose name was Amaziah, was said to do right in the sight of the Eternal, but it ends this way. This is, you read it here in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3. I'm going to quote it here. He did what was right in the eyes of the Eternal, but not as his father David had done. He didn't do it like David had done. So the others were that he did what was right in the sight of as his father David. But this guy, not like father David, in everything he followed the example of his father Joash. The high places, however, were not removed, you see. The people continued to offer sacrifice and burn incense there at the high places. So a lot of these kings, they just couldn't do it. They got a lot of, you can imagine, you get a lot of feedback. You got demonstrations. I don't know, people walked in the streets. I don't know what they were doing. They were griping and yelling, I'm not, I don't want this. I don't know. Don't tear down these temples of Baal. Don't do this. Don't do that. Hezekiah didn't care. Now, the king of the northern kingdoms, by the way, no king of the northern kingdoms was ever said with this phrase that he did right in the sight of the Eternal. There were none of the northern kings. They all were following the way of Jeroboam, and they followed the ways of the other kings, and they kind of went off. All right, let's pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. He removed the high places. Remember, the others did not. Some of the others did not remove the high places. First thing, he removed the high places. He broke down the sacred pillars. He cut down the Asherah, the pagan goddesses. He broke in pieces. That is how far he went. This is how far he went in reform. He broke in pieces, listen to this, the bronze serpent that Moses had made. You remember when Moses made that bronze serpent? How long ago before Hezekiah ever became king? The bronze serpent was made during the days of the wilderness when the Israelites had griped and grumbled, and he sent these serpents to bite them, and whoever was bit, if they looked at this bronze, make this bronze serpent, put it up on a pole, and whoever looked at the bronze serpent would be healed. Well, they had kept that as a relic. That was a relic. They kept that through their travels. They kept it after they went into the land of Israel. They kept it through the time of David. They kept it through the time of Solomon. They kept it through seven other kings prior to Hezekiah. But Hezekiah said, we're not having it anymore. For until those days, listen to this verse. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it. They started looking at it like it had magical powers. And what did Hezekiah do? He called it Nehushtan. You know what Nehushtan means? If you look in the margin of your Bible, it means it's a piece of bronze. It's just a piece of bronze. It's nothing. And he had it destroyed, powdered, beaten up. We already read this, but I'll read it again. He trusted in the Eternal, the God of Israel. so that after him there was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Eternal, and he did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Eternal had commanded Moses. What a man of character. What a man of revolution. What a man of change. What a man who didn't care what the rest of the people thought. He cared what God thought. He did what was right in the sight of the Eternal. Boy, brethren, if you and I could hear God say to you or me, you did what was right in my sight. You did what was right in the sight of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You did what was right in the sight of the holy angels. You did what was right in my sight. That's a blessing. And that's an example this man has set for us. And we'll talk more about other examples in the next sermon.